multitude, this is Jesus, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Got it?
Yes.
Kissing is a form of greeting during that time. It's salutation. It's a form of affection.
Yes.
He's affectionately betraying him.
Yes.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
And he's also mocking him. Because he asked earlier, when he spoke to his father, he said, when I came into your house, you didn't kiss me. So he's now kissing him as a form of mockery and betrayal because of how he dealt with his father. Are you seeing that? Sometimes we come and we talk to people in the past. I'm not saying you're doing it now. If you are, then I'm including you. You got to get it right. You're saying one thing, but you're kissing people, but you have a different motive in your heart. It's in your core. I love you, Pastor. Mwah. Ooh, I can't stand him. Ooh, I love you, brother. Mwah. You're an awesome man of God. Ooh, that dude, I don't like him. Don't want him at my house. Come on.
That's real.
Okay, I know it's quiet. Is that the truth?
Real. That's real.
See, we don't like to admit this stuff, but we need to understand the core of prayer so we can get this right.
Yeah.
Because these things are affecting us on how we spend time with our Father, and we're finding more value in a television, more value in shopping, more value in hanging with friends than we are hanging with the creator of our soul, the creator of our life. And we've got to get it right now, because we got to make him first in every area. As soon as he becomes first, you'll become first priority.
Yes.
Because he made you first priority so you could stay first. You were first.
Yes.
Come on.
It was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, man.
Yes. Yes.
Got it? So in your life, it needs to be the Father, the Word, the Spirit.
Come on.
Amen.
We got to get back to the core of prayer. That's why we're not praying, because we're out of alignment. Say today.
Today.
Oh, you got to say it like you at Kingdom Ministry. I don't know who that was. You're not being religious. Say today.
Today.
I will
receive
correction by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I know that hurt a little bit. You'll be all right. So, write these three things down. This will help you to get a better understanding of what we talked about. Like I said, this is just a light thing, and you can go back and look over those notes with Judas, and you'll be able to identify areas of your life that maybe some of these things are still evident. You don't know.
Amen.
You don't know. Don't think you've arrived in every area. None of us have. None of us have. Okay, number one, the outer man. That's where you want what you want. That's that selfish thing. That's the outer man. The inner. This is about what you need. This is about what you need. And finally, core. This is where you find desire and conclusion. Desire and conclusion. I'll read them again. The outer, that's where you find what you want. In other words, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't know what I want to eat. You ever been there?
Yeah.
I don't know what I want. Then the inner one, what you need. So in other words, the inner person tries to bring things sometimes into a processor where you go to the mall and you have a certain amount of money to buy certain things you need, and then you see things you want.
Right.
That's where the battle starts.
Yes.
I want this, but I need this.
Yes.
But the inner man tells you, this is what you need. Leave alone what you want.
Yes.
But sometimes what you want takes over what you need.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. And then finally, the core, that's desire and conclusion. In other words, remember, when David was talking to God, he said, thou desirest truth in my inward part, in the core. But because a lot of us have been taking the wrong counsel, there is no truth in our inward part.
Amen.
Come on, there's no truth.
Amen.
It's not the word of God. It's old wives' tales. It's things that we learn from in the streets. It's things that we want to do to justify our behavior. And this is the worst one. It's us compromising so many areas that we even compromising the truth to ourselves.
Right.
It's affecting our whole prayer life because we're not being honest with ourselves. And because we're not being honest, we're blaming God for things that God has already solved. So let's look at a couple of examples of good stuff here. That's not bad stuff, but that's things you need to recognize. Go to Psalms 43. Let's look at what David says, and let's start working this thing from the outside in so we can get how to do better in our prayer life, okay? We need to do better in our prayer life.
Yes.
No longer do I want anybody walking in this door from Kingdom Ministry saying they're not praying. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Prayer is a requirement of your agreement with the King. What did Samuel say? Samuel told Israel, if I don't pray for you, it'll be counted to me as sin.
Yes.
God will hold me accountable for your behavior if I don't pray. In other words, unless I intervene and say something to God that will help you and let him know about your state, you understand how heavy this is?
Yes.
Unless I tell God the state of Israel, he can't do anything.
That's wow. It. My God.
Come on, that's powerful. This is a prophet of God.
Yes.
He's telling them, unless I stand here and tell God about what's going on with you, he can't fix it. And if he can't fix it, he's going to hold me accountable for not telling him. Though he sees it, he's going to hold me accountable for not telling him.
Yes.
That's how serious prayer is.
Amen.
We made it too light. We made it too fuddy-duddy. If you understand this weapon we have, it will change your mind, change your life. You should pray every opportunity. Get out those religious prayers. You're going to learn how to pray today correctly.
Yes.
Psalms 43, verse 1. This is David. Psalms 43, verse 1. He says, vindicate me, O God. Who did he ask to vindicate him?
God.
Now, this is a funny thing, because in the original Hebrew language, the word is judge me.
Yes.
That word judge in the Hebrew is the word shafat. It's S-H-A-P-H-A-T. S-H-A-P-H-A-T. Now watch, it means to pronounce sentence for or against. To pronounce sentence for or against. This is a powerful psalm. You're going to have to hold on for this one. This is great. So he's saying, judge me. The Hebrew, the word is shafat. S-H-A-P-H-A-T. Shafat. It means to pronounce sentence for or against. So he's saying, pronounce sentence for or against me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. That's the place of worship. Then I will go to the altar of God to my exceeding joy. To God, my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Then now in verse 5, he starts off, he's talking to some part of himself. He's saying, why are you so downcast, who?
Oh, my soul.
So he's trying to bring himself into alignment.
Yes.
Because he's seeing his enemies and stuff around him. In the first line is the key. The first line, David is saying, judge me, O God. He's not talking about the continual judgment of eternity. He's talking about the judgment of his stature or his status toward God.
Yes.
He's saying, let me know right now. You determine to me if I can come into your tent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, that's what he said. You let me know if right now, the state I'm in, I can get into your worship.
Ah,
he said, because if not, I need to get myself clean before I walk in here.
Ah, yes.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, judge me. Tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Before I get in here and lift my hands, hallelujah, glory to God, judge it.
Yes, glory. Thank you, Lord.
Tell me. Before I go in here and call myself stringing on the harp, before I lift my hands, before I do that. And then he said, now why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted? That word disquieted means at war or rage. He said, my soul is at war or rage within me. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him and the help of my countenance and my God. He's saying, my soul is now moving into the desire position and it wants you. And I'm trying to tell my soul, I'm waiting for the light and the revelation of the word of God to come so I can get myself in order. That's what he's saying. I need God's help. So this is a key. Before you pray, let me give you the three things because, so time say, the three things. Number one, confess your sins.
Yes. Yes.
Confess your sins.
Yes.
And forgive people.
Yes.
Confess your sins and forgive people. This is the outer. This is about you.
Amen.
You get yourself together first.
Yes.
You pray. You confess your sins. You talk to God about you first.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Number two, pray for others, yes. Family, and Israel.
Yes.
That's the inner. That's the inner part. You don't pray for your family and friends and everything first. The first person that needs to be taken care of in prayer is you.
Amen.
Then you get to the family, the friends, Israel. Remember, the writer said to them, pray for Israel.
Yes.
You pray for Israel because we are Israel.
Amen.
You pray for Israel. And then finally, number three, this is the core. At the core, it's God only.
Amen.
That's it. You're not asking for anything. You're not there begging for anything. You're there giving him glory for who he is. You're exalting the Most High. You're telling him how great and magnificent he is, and you're reverencing and worshiping him.
Amen.
You are not there for anything else at the core except to magnify the Lord.
Yes.
That's it. Until you do the other two, you will never experience the latter.
Amen.
You've got to examine yourself first. You've got to take care of you first. Have I been speaking words of life? Have I been lying? Have I been doing things wrong? Have I been doing things? Judge me, Father.
Hallelujah.
Tell me what's going on. Is my heart right? Am I just phony baloney? Am I just faking like I'm saved? Am I really dedicated to the purpose of the kingdom? Or am I just running around with religious antics? Tell me the truth before I walk in here.
My God.
That's what he's saying. Tell me the truth.
Yes.
And then once he tells you, you have to admit it. If he says you've been lying, the writer said, confess your sin. Agree that it's sin and you'll stop lying. David said this. He told God it was one of the longest powerful psalms. He said, oh, by the way, keep for me the way of lying.
Yes.
All this talking, all this stuff he's doing. He said, God, keep for me the way of lying and deceitfulness. David was one of the most powerful warriors. And he said, I got a problem lying. Isaiah said it this way. He said, I've seen you. And he said, I realized something. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I hang with a bunch of people with unclean lips.
Yes, he did.
We've got to get this. In order to understand the core of prayer, we must follow the exact principles. It's about you first. It's about you first. You have to make sure that, remember, when we're talking the core of prayer, all we're talking about is the outer, the inner, and the Holy of Holies.
That's it.
Come on, are you seeing that?
Yes.
The first part, say outer.
Outer.
This is where the basin is, where you get yourself together.
Yes.
Come on, this is where you get yourself, this is where you get clean.
Yes.
The inner, you start to recognize something, that there's a process going on, and you begin to see, oh, boy, I'm telling you, you begin to see the lamp, the lampstand. You begin to see the things because you know the curtain's right there. And you can look right there and say, oh, there's a sacrifice. And then you finally step into the Holy of Holies. But you have to have on your priestly garments.
Yes, you do. You
have to have on your priestly garments. So when you walk in there, it's normal to you. Because you've met the criteria. I've told you to judge me. You judge me righteous. I've come here to present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service.
Yes.
Now, holy and acceptable, which means that sometimes, whether we like it or not, there were some things we prayed about, our life wasn't right, and God has not accepted them.
Yes.
Come on.
There are things that we prayed about that God has not accepted because we have not been acceptable.
Yes.
He doesn't have to accept everything we do. He doesn't have to accept everything. So David is finally talking to his soul. And he said, don't you be at war. Don't you be at rage. The word of the Lord has come. Everything, I'm lining myself up. And he said, now we can go in here. We can enjoy ourselves. We can get in his presence. Why is that important? Because a lot of times when we come home or we have things going on in our lives, instead of doing it the way. Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.